So let's talk about some of the others. Talking about power, people who wanted power, there was a woman in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 11. Her name was Athaliah. Have you ever heard of Athaliah before? Athaliah is a tough cookie, man. She is a horrible woman. She is absolutely, I mean, Shakespeare should have written a play, probably did write a play about this woman. Just, she is nasty. It turns out she has a son. Her son is king. Her son dies, and so she decides she doesn't want to lose her power, so she kills off her other sons and her grandchildren. Yep. And she just, she seizes power by killing off her very own offspring. Wow. Tough girl. And she is bad stuff. She ends up copping it. You know, in the end, the bad guys die really badly. She, the bad girls die really badly too. She dies really badly. But it turns out that God is able to, through actually one of the daughters, one of her daughters-in-law, takes her son and hides him, and keeps him hidden for about 6 years. And there's a high priest actually who takes and raises him. And then when he's about 6 years old, he brings him out. His name is Joash, this young boy, and makes him king of Israel. And then they kill Athaliah, and the high priest raises the boy, and he ends up becoming a really great man of God. It's a powerful story, but of course the villain in the story is a woman, and the reason why she's a villain is because she wants to have power. She's very selfish, even to the killing of her own kids. Now, that doesn't happen a lot, I don't think. I mean, I've never really encountered any spirit like that within the church, unless, of course, it's the spirit of gossip, which is not quite the same murder as what she was up to here. But when something happens to a woman, perhaps she's lost her sense of identity because her son is dead, and her son was giving her identity. And so now she goes out and just spreads violence everywhere. I've met a few women in my life who have a terrible, terrible spirit of gossip, and whose purpose, it seems, is just to bring destruction everywhere so that they can maintain authority and power in some way or another. And ladies, I want to caution you and say this is clearly a way in which the scriptures show that women have struggled in the past. Men gossip too, but women have this weakness there. Guard your heart against it. Guard your heart against it. Then there's some other bad girls. I won't go through all of them, but there's one in particular that I want to mention. And she is... I mean, I could mention the Witch of Endor. She's a tough cookie too. She gets King Saul all wrapped up in seances and so forth. And it's funny how women have typically been the most sensitive to the Holy Spirit and Christian mysticism in a beautiful way, sensitive to the Lord and open to the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But also, women have been used in the most horrible and violent ways by being sensitive to the unholy spirit as well. And there's a leaning towards. I mean, we think about the Salem witch trials and all of that. It was driven by teenage girls who had somehow reputations they didn't want to lose. It's a complete mess. And resulted in tragedy and brokenness and death because of strange spirituality. In the First Corinthians, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, "Women," he specifically addresses the women, "you're missing the mark in your spirituality. You're going way overboard." This is where God has brought the men in the fellowship to bring the even keel. Women bring a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, but men bring an even keel in the midst of that sensitivity, because sometimes we can go overboard in either direction. So women, I want to challenge you in this and say, please be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, let that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit be submitted under the authority of those who are not emotionally driven. Does that make sense? Okay. But the one I want to mention at last, the bad girl, is Michal, or Michael. Some of you know her as. She's the wife of David, and she's a bad girl. Although she started out as a good girl, she's a bad girl in this, and it's not she's not evil, and yet what she does has the potential to bring tremendous destruction. How many of you remember the story of Michal? Anybody? No? You remember it? What do you know about the story of Michal?
I don't remember a whole lot, just that when David brings the Ark of the Covenant back to, where is he bringing it?
Jerusalem. Yeah.
She mocks or criticizes his dancing and just praising the Lord that the Ark is now back, and she cuts him down and undermines her husband's authority and just all those things.
Absolutely right. And I'd like to, that's exactly the story. And you can read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Okay. But the reason why I want to tell that is because Michal is actually probably more like some of the women that we would be more likely to encounter in our churches today. You know, we probably not encounter many Jezebels. We probably won't encounter many witches of Endor. Thank God. You know, Delilah's probably not hanging out in the church quite so much. We encounter those people in the world, but here's somebody that you would encounter in the church. And ladies, I want to offer a caution here. This is a woman who, she was a daughter of a king. Her dad was King Saul. She was given to David as a reward, essentially, because of his battle, you know, against Goliath. And David basically won her as a bride. And she was given to David as a bride, but then her dad didn't like David, tried to kill him. David ran away, and then she was given off to somebody else. And there was a confusion that took place there inside of her heart, her loyalty, who did she belong to, and so forth. And when David came back and took his rightful place on the throne, he took her back, his wife. And the fellow that had been given to her, that she had been sort of married to in between, he killed him. He was put to death. Now, I'm not going into all the, you know, the part of that story, what you like and what you don't like about that, and you can determine those factors for yourself, but let's just read what we can about this woman and what she went through that becomes a part of this very important lesson for us to learn. She was resentful. She was resentful against her husband for what had taken place. She loved him at first, and then there was this other guy, and then she didn't love her husband as much anymore because she felt confused. And in all the mix of that, David, when he went back and took back his wife, was actually a very powerful and positive thing. He was going back to say, I love you. I've always loved you, and I've come back for you, and I'm taking you back to myself. But somehow in her heart, she grew bitter and resentful. And that's something that happens, I think, in many marriages today. You know, whatever the case might be, something happened. Maybe your husband wasn't the way you wanted him to be with your kids, but he comes back around at some point. But somewhere in the midst of that, you've built up a resentment against him. Maybe it was a career. He spent too much time pursuing the career. But he eventually came around and he wanted to be your husband again. And at that point, you weren't willing to give him anything anymore. You were just like, you know what? I'm done with you. You know, I built up this wall. You hurt me too much in the past. You're not going to hurt me again. And somehow that bitterness just became something that wasn't just a bitterness against David, but it ultimately became a bitterness against the Lord. And oftentimes this is a very profound and difficult thing to deal with. But David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It's the happiest day in all of Israel, and should be. It's the day the presence of the Lord is returning to the city of the Lord, and it's being established, and God is placing his stamp of approval upon the nation. And her husband is the king, and she's been given this position of honor. But she looks out of the window as David exalts the Lord, and just in his exuberance, as he's dancing before the Lord, I mean, he's casting off his clothing, as it were, until he's pretty much dancing around in his underwear. He's that excited about the presence of the Lord. And she looks at that and despises it in her heart. And she says, I don't love the things you love. I don't care about the things you care about. You hurt me, and I'm going to hurt you back. And she's a bad girl in the Bible because of it. The judgment of the Lord is issued against her. And ladies, I want to say this. You have immense power over your men, over their destiny, and your willingness to either endorse their desires to serve the Lord and honor God, or to squash their desires to serve and honor the Lord. Your power is huge. Don't be like Michal. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah, you can. Or, well, we want to go back to some of these positive things. Okay. Oh, excellent, excellent. Good.
Okay, sorry, we're kind of winging it a little bit, so.
Hold on 1 second. Janet?
One thing about Jezebel.
Okay.
That I, just for the recording. This is one of the things that I feel with Jezebel. I wonder if why it hasn't come down through the ages of upsetting the authority of man.
Usurping the authority, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, Tam, wrap us up then with this positive stuff.
Okay, we're going to end on a good note. We talked about some really amazing women in the Bible. I want to tell you who my favorite mom in the Bible is. And I don't know if any of you were here last year, Mother's Day. I know my kids were. And I got to share, and I got to share about my favorite mom in the Bible, and she is not named, but her son is named, and he is King Lemuel. Lemuel, am I saying it right?
Lemuel, yeah.
Lemuel?
Yeah,
okay.
It's good enough. We get it.
Good enough. And I want you all just to, let's close with Proverbs 31.
Go ahead and turn there, would you?
And the title of my sermon last year was Proverbs 31, verse 1. That was it. And this is what it says. These are the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. And I'm not going to read the whole of Proverbs 31, but if you read it, you will find out these incredible things that he says about what a good woman should look like. And it says, and that's the oracle, the words that they're talking about here. And it goes on and it says, these are the things his mother taught him. And I want you to know, if you want to know what kind of a mom you are or what kind of a woman you are, why don't you ask your sons? Ask your children. Your children will rise up and call you blessed. And I'm going to end with the end of Proverbs 31, verse 28. And I believe that this was a tribute to King Lemuel's mother. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Ladies, we are praiseworthy because God has created us to be honored and blessed and praised. And you know what? Walk uprightly before the Lord. Allow the presence of God to be all you desire in your life and in your home. And your children will rise up and call you blessed. And there may be seasons that you don't see that. That's okay. That doesn't mean you give up or give in. It means you keep going. You keep going and go strong. Anyway, my favorite mom in the Bible is this woman who taught her son these amazing principles, and that he could at an older age stand up and declare something that the Lord chose to record in the scriptures for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So time doesn't allow us to talk of some of the other amazing women of faith, but you can read up their stories. Think of Sarah. We think of Rachel and Leah. Think of Rebecca. Esther. Absolutely. Esther is an amazing woman. There are women who had influence in their families, and there were women who had influence in the nations. And I want you to know that this is a wide open thing. The Lord wants you as women to recognize your influence is not just it's not just supposed to be in your career if you're a career woman. It's also supposed to be in your home, and it's not just supposed to be in your home if you're a homemaker, but it's also in terms of the rest of the world around you. You have an influential part in God's story. I think about Anna, who was there when Jesus was being presented in the temple, and how she was such a woman of faith even in her old age. And we think about Miriam in the Old Testament, and how she was so faithful when she was little, following her brothers, the basket that carried Moses, you know, to Pharaoh's daughter picks up this basket with a baby, and there's this little girl saying, hey, I know somebody who could be a nursemaid for this boy. And you think, of course, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, who tried to protect her foolish husband. and God eventually blessed her, and she became the wife of David after her husband died. There's the widows, the widow of Zarephath, who took care of Elijah the prophet, a widow with not much to offer, and yet God brought the great prophet Elijah to stay in her home. What a powerful story. Then there are so many others that you can think of, but the New Testament is full of them. Mary Magdalene, you know, demoniac who was set free and becomes the first one to see the risen Christ. We think of Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, a preacher of the gospel, who gets such noble mention in the New Testament. And we think of the mothers, the mother and grandmother of Timothy, Lois and Eunice, and how God used them to raise up this young boy, who ended up becoming the pastor of the largest church in the the first century, in Ephesus. And so all these women in the Bible tells the story not only through some man's eyes, but with the perspective and through the lens of God using women mightily, and the story would not be the same without you. So ladies, we want to honor you today. We want to honor what God is doing in you and through you, and recognize that you are valuable here at Living Hope Family Church. So guys, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the ladies. All the fellas in the room, if you would just stand. And we're going to honor our ladies by praying for them. And so around you are ladies young and old. And I would like you fellas just to reach out your hands towards them. If those ladies are yours, you may lay your hands on them. If those ladies are not yours, don't you dare. Okay? And stretch out your hand towards those ladies, and we're just going to pray a blessing over them. For the sake of time, I'm going to lead the prayer, but please feel free. God can hear us all praying even at the same time. So I will pray, but please feel free to pray also. Father, we just thank you for these beautiful women in our lives. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed this fellowship with women folk. We know that they hear you in ways that we men don't. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that we would honor them and respect them and look upon them as mothers and sisters and treat them with that honor and respect as you have ordained it to be. Father, bless these, our wives, our sisters, our daughters, our moms, right here in this fellowship. Bless them today. May they know the peace of God that passes understanding. Cleanse their heart from all anxieties, Lord, and their minds. Just may they be set free from anxieties. And today may they bask in this knowledge that you, Lord, have designed them uniquely with a unique purpose. We thank you for them and pray your blessing over them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.